give you a second to get there. Y'all have to bear with me. My wife said one day, she said, you know, y'all let your hair grow out a little bit and see how it looks when it was longer. You know, when we met, it was a little bit longer. I thought, well, where I used to be getting it cut, I got talking with the barber, you know, the girl, was a lady that cut it. And she said, well, it needs to be longer or shorter, but you just can't leave it there, man. It was just too much trouble. So I started cutting it short like I'd been wearing it all, you know, most of the time. So now I started growing it out. So y'all going to have to bear with me. I'm going through some growing pains. I got up this morning, man. I was combing my hair, man. It was sticking out. I said, good night. Look at that. I said, well, the cool thing about getting older, you just don't give a hoot that much about it. But anyway, I wet it down. So bear with me. I don't know what I'm going to do. I was kind of thinking about maybe a mullet or... I thought about the Willie Nelson look. You know, get a couple pigtails hanging down on each side, gray. You'd go good with this suit, wouldn't it, huh? David, you could do that probably, you know. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, Don Brewer. Yeah. So anyway, no, it's not going to go that way. I was kind of looking like a homeless person. I thought about sitting out at the mall with a hat in my hand, see if anybody'd put money in it, looking for that hermitized homeless look, you know. Well, we'll see. It may end up getting, I don't know what's more hassle. I'll tell you the truth. I'll probably end up cutting it back off like it was. But anyway, that's where I am. So if I look kind of wild for the next few weeks, talking about a wild hair, I got them. They're going crazy. But it's just the way it is. We'll live with it. I'm not going to get in a beauty contest anytime soon. But okay, so in Colossians chapter 3, here's a letter. Paul had written this letter to the Colossian church. In verse 1, it says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, that's love, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for bringing us through the year. And Lord, we're looking with excitement to what you have for us this year. I pray for us as a church body. Lord, help us to be surrendered to you, and Lord, that we can be faithful to you and be witnesses in this world we live in. I pray for each mind, each heart here today, that we can focus on what you have for us in your word. Pray for that one that may be lost. We pray for their salvation. Use me to preach your word. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. The challenge for the new year, always got a message that, you know, kind of something for the new year. We talk about that. And I looked at this section here. Paul was writing a letter to the church at Colossae, and when he wrote the letter, he was imprisoned in Rome the first time. They believe that's when he wrote it. And I want you to understand, you know, there's words here, they're words of encouragement, words of admonition, but these words are written to Christians, not to lost people, but they are written specifically to Christians. Not that lost people couldn't learn something by it, but it's written to people that are Christians, or at least in a church. They were at a church, and probably all saved, or most of them saved, but maybe not. And so the text we read, that I was thinking about it, this would have been a great text for the new year, you know, then. And it would be a good text for the new year now to speak to Christians about the upcoming year. And so I think that, you know, we think about the Word of God, that we ought to always do this, I think. I think anytime you hear preaching, anytime you read the Bible, you read what the Bible says, I think you ought to take it as a challenge yourself. You know, be challenged by what it says. You know, see where you line up, or where do you stand with what's said. How is that affecting your life or impacting your life? I think we should always do that. And so, when you know, there's no benefit to just reading the Word or just memorizing Bible verses, but we need to apply it to our life. One of the things that Sherry and I've been looking at for the kids, you know, we start trying to teach kids the Word of God. We used to be really high on memory verse. It's good to memorize Scripture. It is good to memorize Scripture, but you really need to have, even children, they need to know, where does this, what does this do for me? You know, application. I mean, they're not too young to know that the Word of God can lead them and direct them. And so we go on through, because if we keep doing that when they're young, by the time they get to adults, they're still in that same mindset. They read the Word, they know what the Word says, but they're not applying it to their life. So there's not a benefit. No transformation in our lives without, you know, this, our lives lining up with what the Word of God tells us. And so, you know, we think about the new year, and this is what I want to do for us today. I want to challenge each person here. I want us to be challenged for the upcoming year to live purposely for God. Living for God on purpose. That might have been a good title, even better than the one I have. Living for God on purpose. You know, not just waiting for something to happen or hoping it's going to happen, and we're like a dead fish floating in and out with the tide. You know, they say a dead fish can swim downstream, right? A jellyfish, we're like jellyfish a lot of times. We're living, but we just go whichever the tide takes us. You know, to live for God on purpose. I mean, this is like where there's a plan for this, to do that. So that's the challenge. I think this would work good for any Christians. You know, hopefully this message will kind of help you along with that. I think if I was going to use a key verse, probably any of them would work, but verse 17, it said, "Whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." Whatever you do in word or deed, whatever you say, whatever you do, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. And if you can't do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, let me tell you, there's a simple test for you. Don't do it. Don't do it. How about that? That'd be easy right there. So I got just two main points, but I got a lot of subpoints. The very first thing is reflection. And we usually talk about this every year, and I think everybody automatically probably does this. But if you think about the new year, you know, it's a good time. What do? We look back. We look back over the past year, take stock of things, reflect on things, how it went. We can also look ahead. I think I've preached a message like this. We look back, we look ahead, and we can look up, right? We know that. We know we look back, we look ahead, and we always say, boy, I hope next year is better than last year. We probably say that every year all the way through our life. It might not be, but but it'll be good. And with the Lord, there's no good, bad. It's all in His hands, right? And so we can look back, but we can look back on some things this way. We can look back on God's faithfulness. We can always look back on God's faithfulness. Were there trials and circumstances and everything in our life last year? Sure. But God has been faithful. You know, God, nothing's catching God by surprise. Nothing happens by accident. You know, we had our needs met. I mean, nobody starved to death or you wouldn't be here. It doesn't look like much of us are starving to death. You know, we're still breathing. We got a roof over our heads. there's probably disasters that we avoided that we don't even know about. But God's hand was upon some things, and maybe some disasters we avoided that we do know about. And so we can look back on the faithfulness of God. We can look at the blessings of God, and there's too many blessings to count. There really is. And when we get right down to it, you know, how many things we have to be thankful for. We can think about God's faithfulness through trials. You know, we don't know what lies ahead. We really don't know what tomorrow holds, do we? I mean, it could be good news. It could be bad news. It could be like neutral, I guess, on that. We don't know. We look back at the past year and we see trials and the challenges, and we see that God brought us through those challenges. I thought about Brimley when and David and Katie and Rhonda and the whole family when I was writing this down. Boy, what a year! You know, you didn't see this coming, right? You know, you got a young child, a brain tumor comes up, and woo, man, your whole world gets turned upside down. It's affected them and. Everything's, you know, traveling and having to go. And boy, I was hoping she was done. They said today she got one more round of the chemo things, and then that's it with that. And I mean, what a blessing right that. And I'm telling you what, surgery, radiation, chemo, you didn't know that, man. I mean, it shook up them and the church family too. We were like, but we trusted God. We put it in God's hands, and man, every little step of the way, it was just a blessing, a blessing, a blessing. Really blessed my heart. Christmas Eve, we were standing out there in the doorway. I was talking to somebody. All of a sudden, boom, man, somebody hits me around the leg. Here, Brindley running there, and she give me a big hug. Man, that really blessed my heart right there. I mean, to see her boy, and I asked her, she was wound up like all the other kids are on Christmas Eve, right? It was a Christmas Eve's candlelight service. She was wound up about that, man. So that was a blessing, man. It's just like, thank you, God, thank you, thank you. We always have something to think about, and God is faithful, no matter what. Sometimes, listen, there's trials in life, and we don't get the outcome we wanted, but God knows, you know, God knows. What we need and what's best for everybody all the way around. And so we can thank God for his faithfulness. He's always faithful to us. We're not always faithful to him. But boy, we can always thank God for being faithful to us. And then, you know, there's always a good time. We talk about evaluating things. Sometimes you look at all kinds of things in your life. Boy, this year, you know, I finally started this. I told people that come over on Christmas Eve 2 years ago, I was going to get rid of that china cabinet that's got all, my mom had all this old crystal stuff. It's all old stuff. It's lead crystal. It's nice stuff. Mom didn't have no junk stuff. Some of it's really old and all that. But it's just like my kids aren't interested in it, and I'm not basically interested. My mom would knock me on the noggin if she knew what I was about to do. But anyway, I got somebody that's interested in looking at the whole load, and I said, yeah, I'm going to tear it out. You know, I said that 2 years ago. Finally, my house is a mess. We got the whole dining room table's covered in lead crystal and got some plates and this and that. But, you know, we evaluate things and we say, hey, I'm going to do this. How many of you said you was going to do something last year and you still hadn't done it yet? You know, a lot of things we said, maybe we're going to do it. I know it had to do with diet and all that, right? We didn't do that. But I want to think about this way. Have you ever, and a lot of people don't do this, a lot of Christians don't, evaluate yourself spiritually. Evaluate yourself spiritually. You know, where am I? Where am I compared to, say, like when I got saved or when I started coming to church? You know, what has that done for me? You know, have I changed? Has the Word of God changed me? Has God done a work in my life? You know, evaluate yourself in a spiritual sense. Take stock. I mean, most of us, all of us probably honestly would answer, hey, could we have progressed more in our spiritual walk, in our Christian life? Yeah, we could have done that. And can we? And you know, The we got some commands in there. There was these put off and put on commands in the text that we read. I'll say something about that in a minute, I think. But, you know, verse 10, it said, have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Renewed in knowledge, the knowledge of God. You know, have we put on that new man? And, you know, we put off, I said, I think I've got some things about those verses in here. I'll say it in a minute. And so we start looking at this encouragements here, the things to put off. And he talked about, you know, anger and malice and filthy communications and things like that, fornication and uncleanness and that. And the things to put on, you know, talking about love and mercies and things like this. Is that your life? This is your gauge. You know, we got the litmus test. You know, we have the Word of God. We hold up against our life. Is your life lining up where in areas of this? And if it's not, you know, say, okay, well, hey, my life's not lined up here. What are you going to do this year? You know, evaluate yourself in a spiritual sense. And, you know, then can we see some growth? That's encouraging if we do see that. So, you know, take the challenge to say, hey, there's things in my life that I need to put off. I need to get rid of it. Just get rid of it. I see that, and there's things I need to put on, you know, and take that challenge and then move forward, say, this year in your spiritual life. Another thing that we can do and under reflection, you know, is we can anticipate. Be excited about what God can do. Listen, man, things with God can move fast. I'm telling you. You know, it doesn't take, when God gets a hold of you, it doesn't take years and years a lot of times. Man, God just gets a hold of you and does a work in your life. We can expect God to do some great things this year. You know, and then another thing, set goals higher. You know, Pastor Frank used to always say, if you aim low, you'll hit it every time. You know, God's a big God, right? Set your goals up higher. Set your goals up higher. Expect big things. Ask for great things because God, He is able. And in the spiritual sense, you know, we think about it, He's able for anything. And then the second point, and this is the longer of the two, is renewing. Like I said, we use the new year a lot of times. People make resolutions, New Year's resolution. They, you know, it's just something because it's a new year. It's just a point. It's just a point to say, hey, this is the beginning of the year. What are we going to do? And a lot of times people say, well, this year I'm going to fill in the blank. You know, could be a million and one things, lose weight, clean out the garage. I don't know which one would be harder. I'm going to do all these things. We say that. But if anything, that you're going to do anything, and some of you might have accomplished, and some of us all might, maybe we did accomplish something that we set our sights on last year. We said, this year I'm going to do some things different or fix this, whatever. If you're going to do it, there's two things that's going to have to happen. One, you're going to have to commit to doing it, right? You got to commit to doing it. And then you have to focus. And you know, you have to have a purpose. You have to focus on that purpose. This is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to do. I do have my garage clean and lit. Deer season's over with now, so when it's not too freezing cold, which is not supposed to be next week, hey, I'm going to fix it. I got that in my shed to do. I'm going to get it all rearranged, and I don't know how long it'll last, but I'm going to get it. I'm going to do it. I got that on the board to do that. But we think about it in a spiritual sense as well. You know, what are we going to do? What are we going to do to progress in our Christian life? Well, it's going to take some commitment, right? It's going to take some purpose. It's going to take some focus. This is what I'm going to do. You know, I'm going to read the Word of God, and I'm going to read it and see how that applies to my life, and see where I'm missing the boat here, or I see where I have grown in that area, which is always an encouraging thing. So when, you know, you have to have vision, when you look back, you have to be able to see. You have to be honest. You have to see. And then you look ahead. So if you look back and you look ahead, how do you see it? How do you see your life? Now, what do you envision for the upcoming year? And I'm thinking particularly in the spiritual sense. You know, a lot of people don't have a vision for a spiritual anything in the upcoming year. You know, they haven't thought about that. You know, what are you going to be the same as I was last year and the year before and the year before? Are we just going to be stagnant? You know what happens in stagnant water, don't you? Huh? Old algae and microbes gets kind of funky and nobody would want to drink it. Huh? Mosquitoes. There's some stagnant waters. It's not good. Stagnant Christians, not good either. It's not a good thing. So we have to, you know, purpose. To have purpose in life, it takes a priority. It takes priority. If you're going to have purpose in your life, you're going to have a priority. So we think, well, what's going to be your priority this year? What is the priority, the number one thing? You know, if that's the number one thing, then that'll be your purpose. You have to get that priority straightened out. See what verse 2 says. It says, set your affection, that's your heart, your love, if you want to... on things above, not on things of the earth. That doesn't mean that there's not things on the earth that we have to take care of, but we have to have the priority on things above, the priority on things with God. And so Matthew 6:33 tells us, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And the things that he was talking about there were the things that we have to have: food, clothes, you know, the basics of life, right? Well, God says this. God says, listen, if you seek first the kingdom of God, these things will be added unto you. It doesn't mean that you're going to wake up one morning and, hey, there's a pile of brand new clothes sitting on the doorstep and you know, Kroger's just dropping by with all the groceries. It doesn't mean that. But it just means that God's going to work it out. Well, those things will be provided through the work of your own hands, no doubt. Most cases, it's still going to be that. But he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and these things will be added. The problem with today is, as Christians, our priority is usually the other way around. We are seeking first the things of the earth, all these things that we, these material things, things that, you know, everything under the sun, and God is secondary in our life. And so then we say, well, you know, I don't see any spiritual growth. Duh. No, you don't, because you're not focused on that. Focus on the things, put God first, and the other things will fall into place along the way. God knows, and God doesn't have a problem with you being blessed by other material things, but he's just saying, seek him first and see how that goes. We'll get our spiritual life straightened out, which, you know, you got to understand that it is more important than your physical life. And most people don't think it is. They think their physical life is more important than their spiritual life. But no, listen, your spirit is going to live forever. Your soul is going to live forever, and your physical body will not. So be challenged to reverse your priority. Just try God on this word. This is what he said. He was a promise from God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness. All these things will be added unto you. Try it. Huh? God's either a liar or he's true. Huh? Try it and see what happens. If he's telling the truth, then test him on it. Test him on it and see what happens. Make God's purposes and goals first in your life and see what happens to your life. So many people's lives are a mess because they haven't put God first in their life, and see what happens. You know, anything you do takes practice, right? Anything you're going to do very well, it takes practice. Take the challenge this year to practice what the Scripture teaches us. Huh? Not just read it, not just talk about it. Study it, man. Not only do all those things, you could study the Word of God and not do it. Huh? Here's the test. Put the practice, read the Word, study the Word, see what it says, and then do it. Just do it. It's real simple. It's not hard. You're enabled to do everything that God said. Huh? If you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit of God, you can do everything that he said. Everything. It don't matter. People say, well, I can't talk to anybody about the Lord. Then God's a liar, or you're not saved. That's the two choices. Huh? Either God's a liar or you're not saved. He said, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. That's what Paul said. And the Bible says that God said, I'll put the words in your mouth to say. I'll put the words there. Do it. Look at all the action commands in these verses. So he said in verse 8, he said, but now also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Huh? Lie not one to another, seeing you put off the old man. Put off. These are things to quit doing. Huh? I mean, man, I tell you what, I can see a change in my life. I used to really have a bad temper. Man, I mean, I stayed mad most of the time, probably. And every now and then it'll flare up again. I went down there to see Harold. I was telling y'all about it. Did I tell y'all about it? Went down to meet Harold, and I was out there and walking across the street. Some guy said, hey, buddy. Rolled his window down. You missed my car by that much. Huh? He missed my car by that much. And I went over and I said, well, I said, man, I don't think I was that close to you. But he said, yeah, you missed it by that. I said, well, I missed it. I said, I didn't hit it, right? No. I said, all right. You know, 30 years ago, I wouldn't have missed with something else. Huh? Well, you missed my car by that much? Bap! I didn't miss with that. How about that? You know, just shut up, man. And then he cussed me, but he told me I was going back across the street. He said, and slow the H down. You know, 30 years ago, I said, shut the H up. But, you know, I didn't say I didn't do it, man. I had pulled out of a parking place like two cars behind them on Lee Street in Vinton. Now, how fast could I have been going to get two cars past them to the next parking plate? But see, what happened was God worked in, God worked. There's growth there. See, I didn't hit him. I didn't cuss him. Huh? I did good. I should have told him, Merry Christmas. Man, you just have a Merry Christmas. What a blessing. Your car didn't get hit. Did I say that? No, I could have. Huh? I probably could have, should have done it. After I got in there, I felt bad I didn't tell him Merry Christmas. You know, we just have a blessing. You never know what the guy was going through. Maybe he was having a bad day. I don't know. He was going through. Could have been a worse day, but it could have been a bad day. You don't know, but you got to see. You put off these things. Huh? So God's dealt with me over the years. Not that I can't get mad, but He's dealt with me on that. And then he says, put on something. These are action words. Verse 10, he says, and put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So knowledge, there, this happens. Well, how are you going to put on the new man in knowledge? Well, you're going to have to read the word. You know, that's verse 12, he says, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Yeah, we're going to suffer long. He said, and then he goes on and says, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Forgiveness. And above all these things, put on charity, which that's love, which is the bond of perfectness. And then it says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. The peace of God will rule in your hearts when you do this. See how it's tied? If you put on these things, put off those things, put on these things, And then you'll have the peace of God to rule in your hearts. See, there's every action, there's a reaction, right? What is that? The law of relativity, is that it? I don't know, law of something.
It's a natural law.
It's a natural law, but it's, I don't know. Dwayne says no, I'll go with him. He's a teacher, right? Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. It will. And it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Well, how's it going to dwell in you richly? Well, you got to read it. That would be the thing. So listen, we got to take and start practicing these things till they become habit. Like I say, I don't think about blinking. Do you? How about breathing? We don't think about breathing, right? Your lungs just do it. Well, I'm saying, all right, lungs, here we go. All right, let out. We're not thinking about it. Just natural. When you start practicing the things that God's talking about, guess what? You know, forgiven. He said exactly like Christ forgave you. I don't think there's a greater hypocrisy in all the Word of God than holding a grudge and expecting God to forgive you, asking God to forgive you. There's not a greater, that's a hypocrite. That is the biggest hypocrite there ever was, is somebody claiming that they're saved. They have the love of God dwelling in their heart. God forgave them for all that he did. And this person is still holding a grudge and won't forgive somebody. That is hypocrisy. He says loving. You know, love is an action word. It's not just words. You can say, I love you. That's easy to say. But love is with deeds. You know, think helping somebody. You know, putting boots on the ground, man, just doing something for somebody. That's how you love somebody. And then serving. This is where Teresa messed me all up right here, Teresa. I thought about this. Think about this. Okay, in what way could I serve God at Valley View Baptist Church this coming year? So Teresa comes in this morning. We get ready for choir practice. Here's Teresa sitting in the choir. I said, you going to sing in the choir? She said, yeah. I said, why don't you wait till next week? I'll preach this message and you'll show up and we'll show people how it affected them. So I said, no, I'm just kidding. She got in. So she already thought about it. She already thought about it and she started thinking, hey, what can I do? She said, hey, I sing. I sing with the singing group. She said, I might as well come up there and sing in the choir. Amen. I mean, think about that. In what way could you serve God at the church this year? Have you ever thought about that? What could I do? There's always something to do. No shortage of thing. Have a vision. Nothing gets done without a vision. You know, whatever you plan on doing. God has a plan. I think God has a plan. God's got a purpose for you. Got a purpose for me. I mean, God's got it for each and every one of us. And God wants to use you. God wants to use you. Believe this. God wants to use you. And I can't do nothing. No, I can't either. But God can do it through you if you'll just surrender to Him. That's it. So challenge, you know, I want to challenge you, look to God, look around, See where God could use you. And then witnessing. We talked about this Wednesday night. We had a little group Wednesday night. It was kind of weak around here, but we had a little group. So I said, well, we'll not do the lesson. Let's just talk about praying, things we want to be thankful for last year and things we want to pray about for this year. And we started thinking about this, about the things that we ought to ask God. We were asking about all the health issues. But, you know, we know the Great Commission is a command. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. That's a command. That's what God says, do it. But you know what? Like serving God, we're very passive about it. And we think it's just going to happen. Like one time in my whole life, I got saved in like 1987. One time in my whole life, maybe two times, but one guy I had actually witnessed to. But one time in my whole life, somebody came up to the door and said, hey, could you tell me how to be saved? You know, the rest of the time, you know, you had to go and talk to them first about it. And so we're so passive, and we think it's just going to happen. But God said go. That's an active word. And so the challenge for the year, well, say if I was going to talk to somebody about the Lord, what am I going to do? Well, number one, you got to have a plan. You got to have a plan for anything. What's your plan for witnessing in 2026? Hadn't thought about that, be honest. Hadn't thought about it. I'm just hoping something will happen. You know, it'll be like a supernatural. No, you got to have a plan. It's just like anything. You're not going to get nothing done. If you got to go to work tomorrow, you got to have a plan for it. You got to plan what time you're going to get up. You're going to plan on what you're driving. You're going to plan on what you're going to eat before you go. You're going to plan on how you're going to get to where you're going. You're going to plan on what you're going to do when you get there, right? It's the same thing with talking to somebody about the Lord. Hey, you got to have a plan. Who am I going to talk to? What time's going to be a good time? How am I going to get there? What am I going to say when I get there? And we talked about that. I said, hey, let me give you an optional thing. The practical thing, this is what I found my whole Christian life. When I was early Christian, you know, I thought, we would talk about deer hunting, talk about football, talk about whatever, anything. We could talk about anything. But then you say, well, man, I want to talk to somebody about the Lord. How am I going to get on that subject? Here's a real easy one, real practical. Hey, I'm a member down there at Valley View Baptist Church. You go to church anywhere? Oh, you do? You know, okay, you got that one. Or if they say, well, no. Well, oh, really? Well, where's your head at with God? What do you think about? What do you think about God and eternal life, your soul? You ever think about that? Easy question. That ain't going to offend many people. What do you think about it? They may say, well, I'm an atheist. Then you can say, I don't believe it. No, I don't believe in God. Well, I don't believe you're an atheist. Well, I'm telling you I am. I'm telling you there's a God. You got a conversation going, right? But, I mean, they might say, well, I don't know. I haven't thought about it. We say, hey, man, listen, there's nothing more important than your soul. Jesus loves you, man. Jesus loves you. He died for you. He wants to save you from yourself. You know, you look at yourself, you need saving, right? We know our own worst enemy is looking at us in the mirror every day, right? So there's an easy thing. Hey, do you happen to go to church anywhere? We go to church down here. You got to come down and you enjoy it. Oh, no, I don't. Okay, hey, well, what do you think about God? Where's your head at? Where's your head at with God, heaven, hell, eternal life? See what they say. Get started. Get some to thinking, if nothing else, right? I'm not going to say you're going to lead everybody to Christ right then, but at least you're planting the seed, right? You plant a seed, and then you find out. And there's some great verses. You can take them to Romans 10:9, John 3:16. Everybody knows that, right? Take them to some verses right there. So that's a practical thing. You know, we talked about that Wednesday night, just how to talk to somebody about the Lord. It's just like, how do you talk to somebody about deer hunting? Seeing anything? Killing anything? Killed a lot of time. Huh? Or how you talk to him about football? Did you see the game the other day? Huh? Boy, that was some play. You know? Or, hey, church, same way, man. You gotta come out of church, man. Preacher's great down there at Valley View. What a message he preaches. Huh? I mean, you know, you lie a little bit. I mean, whatever, you know. Oh, hey, our Christmas play. We had a great Christmas play. Man, you should have been there for that. Oh, yeah, really? Yeah. Yeah. What do you think? Where's your head at with God? You believe in God? You believe there's a God? Yeah. You know, well, you ought to come down to church. You'd like it. And then talk to them about their soul. Ask them. I mean, it's easy. Just the same thing. And so you have to make it you have to have a passion and you have to have a purpose. And this is our purpose because God gave us this commission to everybody, not just preachers. He gave it to every Christian. And then to get anything accomplished, you have to have a plan for it. Hey, you know what? I know somebody. I'm going to talk to them about the Lord. That's what I'm going to do. Pick a time, pick a day, pray about it. Do it. That's how we're going to do it for the upcoming year. Make it a goal. If you have a plan, initiate the plan. Because it's probably not just going to happen, as evidenced by last year's New Year's resolutions that didn't get done, right? We have a plan, but we didn't initiate the plan. It didn't get done, trust me. And then practice thanksgiving. Our old Psalm 100, verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Man, I mean, hey, practice. We ought to be thankful. Thank God. I told Damien when he called us up and he was excited. He said, hey, I passed. And I said, well, man, give God the glory, buddy. Give God the glory because, you know, God gave you the acumen, the recall and memory, the skill set to do it. He said, yeah, man. He said, a lot of people were praying for me, a lot of people. I said, well, give him the glory for that, right? So I'd say make glorifying God a priority this year. You know, move from an occasional sporadic reading of the word, get regular and consistent. I do it first thing in the morning. If I wait later, I'll get my mind on too many other things, it doesn't get done. Even when I was still working a secular job, when I was saved and I was working a secular job, I'd read it early in the morning. First thing, get my coffee, read a few verses, a few chapters. I try to read a few chapters, but whatever you can read. Read something, you know, make it regular, consistent, habitual. After a while, guess what? You don't even think about it. You just automatically do it. Let's say, hey, if you're not doing that, there's a starting point. Well, I haven't been reading my Bible. Well, hey, just make it a priority. Make it a goal. Strive for a deepened prayer life. Move past crisis-centered prayer. Get past it. I'm not saying do away with it. Move past crisis-centered prayer, past request-centered prayer, to communion, where you're just talking to God, being honest with God, talking to God about things. Say, God, I feel this way about certain things. Maybe I shouldn't feel that way. You know, I just feel certain ways. I'm not sure about things. Tell God things like that. And just be dependent to God for everything and have, move, you know, that communion, confession, soul searching, conversation, dependent on God for every everyday life prayer. That kind of prayer. Move from the basics to a deeper prayer life. And a prayer of thankfulness, of course. So that's our challenge. Here's our challenge in closing from the Word of God itself. You know, this whole thing is a challenge, chapter 3 of Colossians and other places too, but Let's live as Christians with purpose. Let's live with purpose. Vision, have a vision for God. Have a vision of God and have God as a priority in our life. Have him as a priority in our life. Not on the back burner, not on the side burner, but we got God number one. And see, and this is where God wants us to get to. Every Christian, he wants you to get here. And buddy, that's the challenge for us in life. So we don't always take stock of our spiritual life. It's a good year to start. Good year to start. Lord's coming back. Lord's coming back. And I'll share. Come up here, Paul. I'll share a little story while Paul's coming. I have dreams, man. I have these strange dreams. I don't know what they mean, honestly, half the time. I was standing on a field, and it was the hills just the night before last. I had to wake up and tell Sherry about it. I could see these clouds, and they were thick and almost rectangular, and there was these three heads and shoulders like a bust sticking up out of the clouds. Now, you know how sometimes we look at a cloud and say it looks like a head, but these were fine detailed in color. It was a man looking, might have been a woman, another man. They were looking that way, and I had some people that I didn't know, and they were standing around, and I said, man, I said, that's wild. And then these two disappeared, and this one started rotating, this cloud thing down by the ground. It started swinging around, I mean, way out there. And I was telling these people, I said, something's happening, man. Something's going to happen. It's one of them vivid dreams. I mean, man, where, you know, and it got all the way around to this side of me, and it was like a train car, like a passenger car. And it was on the other side, and it was a man's face. And he was telling him other people. He was asking him a question, but it was rhetorical. He already knew the answer. And he said, have you done this? Have you done this? Some things. And you could just tell by the atmosphere that he was asking them, had they done it? And they didn't answer him. They hadn't. And he looked at me and he said, but you, my friend, you're going to go back to your farm and live in peace. And then he was gone. And then I looked, I was being kind of funny. I said, I've got a farm. And next thing you know, I was looking at this farm. I was this field, and there was all these deer around. And I was talking, I said, look at them, look at those bucks. They were just all over the place. And then two people out of the blue, yeah, you guys can share this to watch the young. It was Matt Blake and Jason Watt. They were standing there. Why, I don't know. And we were going, yeah, them bucks aren't, they're not, you know, they weren't world records, but I said they were pretty good. And I turned around, there was farm animals all over the place, and there was deer in there, and there was an elk cow. I said, there's an elk cow right there. Look at that. It was chickens and all that. And I said, I got to go tell Sherry about it. There's something going on. And I went, and my house was this white house. It had a sunroom on one end, and I had these car keys, and I said, I don't know whether I should call her, and I wanted to, or I'm going to drive to her work, and I say, something's happening. Something's happening. What does all that mean? I have no clue. Probably something I ate. I don't know. But I would say this. Something is happening. Something is happening. You know what? That's a God-related. It was like something that had to do with God and the Lord's return, just the way I thought about it. I mean, I woke up. And I said, man, that was a great dream. I'm just thinking. Maybe in the millennial reign, I'm going to have a farm. That's what I'm thinking. Hey, you got to have a vision, right? You got to have a vision. But you know what? If you think about godly things, you dream about godly things. Maybe that's all it is. Maybe that's what it is. I don't know. I'm not claiming. Don't go back and say, that preacher down here, he's weird. He's having dreams and telling us. I don't know what. It's just a weird dream. I have them all the time. Maybe it doesn't mean a thing. But there's a lot of other things I could have been dreaming about, and that was a good one. Amen. But have a vision for the things, spiritual things. Get in the Word of God. Get in prayer. Spend communion with God. I told him on Wednesday night, if all of us got up, and this is why I didn't have an altar call before communion on Wednesday night, on Christmas Eve, was we ought to already be all prayed up when we get here. And if we all got in communion and fellowship with God every day, particularly on Sunday morning, and then we come rolling in here, something's going to happen, right? Something's going to happen. Amen. If God spoke to your heart this morning, I'd encourage you to heed what the Word tells us. Take stock of your spiritual life this year. If you need to be saved, be saved today. Amen.